I solved a big snack problem in our household in a very simple way. My children love eating berries, and so do I, for not just the taste, but the vitamins and nutrients, fiber, all the good stuff we want on a regular basis. The problem? We all know what it's like to pick up a berry we just bought, and it's already growing fuzz in the fridge. So I've switched to buying frozen berries. And a favorite I look for now is Washington Red Raspberries. Did you know 90% of frozen red raspberries in the United States are grown in Washington State and mostly grown on family farms who harvest them during peak ripeness and clean and freeze on location, sealing in all that freshness, taste, and great nutritional value. So now I use frozen raspberries in our yogurt or smoothies as a sweet treat. And I love that this means I can support local American farmers and have a healthy snack for my family that withstands the test of time. You can find Washington Red Raspberries at your local grocery store or Costco. And how do you know you're getting the good stuff? Well, you just take a peek at the packaging and look for product of the U.S., and then you'll know you're on the right path. Oh, and if you want some fun recipes and more information, go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. And you're going to find recipes, health tips, retail locations, everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. Overall, it's just a smarter choice. Is the color pink the key to reducing crime in America? A sheriff in Texas says yes. Let's see what you think. It's our weekly segment, Anything But Politics. I'm Jenna, and this is Smarter News. So we had a little reprieve, a very minor break from some politics. Congress was out of session this week, so they were back in their home districts. Don't worry, many of the lawmakers will return to Capitol Hill next week, and that's going to lead to more political voices in our news. So we're going to be right back in action. And certainly we had our serving of political stories this week. But for now, we're just going to enjoy a moment, a deep breath for anything but politics. And for that, we're going to go to Texas. So a sheriff in Texas has a revolutionary idea on how to reduce crime, to keep prisoners calm, to create a more constructive environment. And it's fairly straightforward. The solution? The color pink. You might ask, Jenna, is this real? Is this a real story? In which case, I will respond, yes, my friend, this is real. The question is, can it work? So here's the background. We're gonna take you to Galveston. And I want to introduce you to Galveston County Sheriff Jimmy Fullen. Now, Galveston is an important city along the Texas coast, population around 50,000. It's important because it has a really interesting history. But now it's a mix of a beach town with tourists. It's a bit of a destination. It has an old town pioneer vibe where you can go into Victorian buildings and shop for candy out of wooden barrels, things like that. And in a Facebook post from a few weeks ago, the sheriff's office announced Galveston County Sheriff's Office goes pink. Not for breast cancer awareness, not for spring, not because pink is the new black, because, and I quote here, the color pink is believed to help alleviate feelings of anger. And the sheriff says he wants to reduce repeat offenders. He wants to foster a better environment. He wants to easily identify prisoners. And he had a choice. He gets to purchase new uniforms every year. And he thought this year, instead of green uniforms, he's going to opt for pink. He heard it might work. What kind of pink, you ask? Does that matter? Well, the photos show a bright fuchsia, not a blush, not a rose pink, not a hot pink, a rather bright, no doubt about it, magenta looking pink, pink, pink. There's no doubt it's pink. Now, the Houston Chronicle just did a great write-up on this, a little bit of a review, and cited a professor who thinks this is not going to work. He's from the University of Houston. His name is Professor Steve Nelson. And he says, really, the pink uniforms are to embarrass prisoners as a deterrent, a, quote, tweak on their masculinity. And he goes on to say, quoting here, I don't think there's any real evidence that it will calm anything. If it did, we could paint a lot of buildings pink. Fair point. The sheriff pushes back on this and says he's not trying to mock anyone. He argues mocking prisoners would be keeping them in black and white striped uniforms. And he made this interesting argument in addition to that, basically saying if you dress them like prisoners, they're going to behave like prisoners, like criminals. And he argues that dressing them in pink keeps them from that stereotype. Also, an interesting point. So this got me thinking in all sorts of different directions. I went down a deep dive, which I'm going to share with you, including asking the question, so, you know, why do we actually put prisoners in black and white stripes or orange or green? Like, is there any rhyme or reason to any of this? Turns out this question on fashion, the fashion of prison uniforms and the origin of it is not very well documented. In general, it appears that these sort of patterns and colors are simply to be used for identification. If someone escapes and they're wearing black and white stripes, you're pretty clear they do not belong. Although I will point out that while traveling in France last summer, a lot of the women were wearing those black and white striped sweaters, and I do own one. So it's not across the board. But if someone's wearing a jumpsuit that's bright orange or black and white stripes, you know, you're pretty clear that maybe they don't belong exactly where they are. And what else is interesting is there's no uniformity across the country, no pun intended there. Remember, you have local jails, you have state and federal prisons. Everyone sort of uses something different. The bigger question here is whether a simple solution could solve a really complex problem. You know, how do you truly reduce crime? How do you use prison as an actual deterrent? How can prison lead to safer streets? Is it more simple than we think? And I don't ask that question to disregard a lot of the hard work and the research that goes into like figuring out how do we have a safer society. But I wonder what other problems are in front of us today, where maybe we should just try something totally different, you know, the path of least resistance. Well, if pink uniforms can help, should we just try it and see? You know, what is a true unsolvable problem and what is a choice? Is something I think a lot about in journalism because we cover such amazing stories. You know, even over the last week, we're launching astronauts into space. Like, think about the complexity of solving that problem and our ability to do it with technology and creative thinking. And then you think about the other problems that we're trying to solve and not seeing the same creative thinking and not seeing the same success and wondering why. You know, if you can Amazon yourself an item within 5 hours, you know, and have a simple solution for something that was hard at one time hard, what are the other things that are around us that with a little bit more energy, a little bit more creativity, maybe a little bit more simplicity we could solve? And so that's why I thought this story was interesting, not just because I like the color pink, which I do. There's some editorial bias there. The headline did catch my attention, but it's also this broader question I think a lot about as a journalist. What's a true unsolvable problem where there's no good option? And what is a solvable problem that we're not really figuring out because it's more of a choice of energy or resources or something else? So I did find a very interesting random fact for you that is a name I was unfamiliar with, but what an incredible story. So I want to introduce you to a woman named Mabel Walker Willebrand, and she served as the Assistant Attorney General in the Department of Justice in the 1920s. At the age of 32, think about that time, she was the highest ranking woman in the federal government. And one of the things that she did in that role is she provided oversight to federal prisons. There was just a few at the time. And apparently the federal government really had no central oversight. They were sort of these independent entities. And she was one of the key voices advocating for an agency to oversee these properties and what was going on inside these prisons. And she's one of the reasons we have a Bureau of Prisons. Sort of fascinating, right? Listen to this. She put herself through law school. She worked as a public defender. She was a major enforcer of prohibition, not a popular job, by the way, in case you're wondering. And she eventually worked as a celebrity attorney after she did all this work in government. She goes back to California where she did a lot of her early work, and she becomes a celebrity attorney for Hollywood actors like Clark Gable. I mean, what an incredible life. And I was reading this here from this post on Women and the American Story. It's a resource really for schools. A lot of great research in history, by the way, comes from sites that are prepared for education. One of Mabel Willebrand's former colleagues reflected on her career, and I'm reading this quote: "If Mabel had worn trousers, she could have been president." So you see, you know, fashion does matter. Maybe fashion does matter in multiple ways. So we have a lot of different voices, opinions, hands in our current system. What works best? Is pink the answer? Is one of the questions we end with here. What are some of the simple solutions that maybe we should be entertaining for some of our more complex problems that we cover on a regular basis. I'll leave you with that. Enjoy your weekend. We're going to see you back with the hard news headlines next week. But thank you for your support of quick, concise, nonpartisan news and this little segment, Anything But Politics.